on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania. Helen Shield.
This guy's years of hopeful lapse of the T-Mag Portrait Gallery. His steps clapping on the wooden floors in the silence again and again, admiring all the composed faces in oil on the walls, but searching, hoping for the romantic brush strokes of one painter in particular to finally be chosen out of the bond store and hung. The work of none other than Wainwright the Poisoner. Luke Hamilton, hello.
G'day, Helen. How are you?
Well, how often has the upstairs of T-Mag featured in your routine?
Oh, look, I'd probably go there, you know, 3 or 4 times a year. You know, probably for the same reason most Hobartians do. I just, you know, check out some of the stuff and take other visitors. You know, people come down to Hobart and I'll take them to T-Mag. But absolutely, whenever I go to T-Mag, I will always go up to the portrait gallery in the hope of seeing a Thomas Griffith Wainwright portrait, which I kind of knew they had at least a drawing somewhere in their archives.
Who is Wainwright to you?
So Wainwright is my first cousin 4 times removed. He is my great-great-grandfather's cousin.
And who was he to himself?
To himself? He was a name that was sort of in our family history. Like I have, when I moved to Tassie, I didn't have any, this is about 13 years ago, I have no Tasmanian connections at all, except for this one little family story that Mum reminded me of when I moved to Tasmania. The story being that my great-great-grandfather was central in having his cousin convicted of forgery. And his cousin being sent to Tasmania. And his cousin was...
So he was a convict in Van Diemen's Land.
He was a convict in Van Diemen's Land, indeed. He came out in 1837, Wainwright did. And before he came out in London, he was an art critic, a portrait artist. He had been hung in the Academy, as well as an art critic, a painter, and... A writer, yeah.
And what was the forgery?
So the forgery was actually of my great-great-grandfather's signature. So Wainwright had an inheritance that was kept in trust, and the trustees were my great-great-grandfather, his father, and another relative. And Wainwright was a bit of a dandy. He was in the circles in London where to live large and wear the right coats, you had to spend a fair bit of money. He had an income from that inheritance come to him, about £200 a year, but he ran through that pretty quickly. He was pretty constantly in debt and reportedly a lover of fine things, and he forged his cousin's signature to get access to the capital and get that money, which he ran through very, very quickly. That was about 13 years before he was convicted of that, but he was called Wainwright the Poisoner because he's certainly suspected of killing at least 3, maybe 4 or 5 people with strychnine.
Wow!
Or so the story goes. It's obviously, you know, like through the mists of time, it's very hard to tell what is true is what is not.
If a nickname sticks for a couple of hundred years, can you be fairly confident?
Yeah, you can be convicted on that, can't you?
That's a lot of smoke.
Yeah, look, and the thing is, a lot of that smoke probably happened because he was very well known in London society, and when he went down for the forgery, it was kind of the scandal of the circle at the time to talk about, you know, in fact, you know, did you hear that his uncle died within a year of him moving into the house and he inherited the house, and then his mother-in-law died within a few months of making her will out to him, and then his 20-year-old half-sister, Helen, died within months of having an insurance policy made out.
Plead the fifth. How good was his art?
Look, really good. I had seen up until... I discovered this one in T-Mag. I'd seen lots of the drawings that he did when he was in Hobart. So he came out to Hobart and he was in a chain gang. You know, he was working on the roads and he was pretty unwell and then managed to get moved to the hospital where he worked as an orderly, still a convict. And I think he ingratiated himself to some of Hobart society enough to draw their various portraits. None of them are oils. They're almost all sort of ink and washes, watercolour washes, but they're absolutely beautiful. They're, you know, they're really lovely portraits of the Hobart glitterati.
Mm.
And I'd seen online, not in real life, I'd seen quite a few of those, you know, portraits of, you know, the Broadrib Doctor and the Avenue Sisters, is it? Lovely things. But had never seen an oil painting. So certainly whenever I went to TMAG, I would go up just scouring the walls, hoping that maybe I would see, you know, one of his Hobart watercolours, some picture of some local. Anyway, on Sunday, I was walking through the gallery and there was a painting, not just of some Hobart local, but of my great-great-grandfather's brother, Henry. So a portrait done before Wainwright was sent out to Tasmania, a portrait done... So Henry Foss, who is my Edward Foss's brother, would have gone to school with Wainwright at Charles Burney's Academy in Hammersmith, which was pretty well known. They would be pretty close in age and they were good friends. And it seems that Wainwright probably did several portraits of his cousins and friends as favours rather than commissions, or as, you know, just...
Maybe trying to hit them up for money.
Yeah, probably. Mm. Yeah, indeed.
Give that jacket, would you? I'll paint you for it.
That's right, exactly. Got any fine china? Or, you know, yeah.